What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, wake them up. Get them up, get them going. Early bird gets the worm on B&E. Appreciate you being up early with us as we launch your Tuesday. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now. I appreciate you being there. However you're finding us, 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Of course, we're always streaming live on that Horn app and at hornfm.com. Appreciate you launching early. Hope you can ride all morning long with us all day long here on the Horn, where it's live and local. A lot of conversations. Big 12 makes it official last night. What was anticipated came to fore from the leaders of the Big 12 Conference. They become the final Power 5 Conference to make their college football plans official. We'll dive in headfirst and take your thoughts, how it impacts Texas and your favorite school within the Big 12. Also, good NBA bubble action yesterday and last night. Major League Baseball with some top stories. Astros and Rangers had the night off, but still plenty going on. Bucky's Yankees are red hot. There's a lot to do. It's going to be a fun Tuesday, Buck, with National Chocolate Chip Day, I saw this morning, Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. So have yourself maybe a snack in your future coming up today. And I don't know if we're going to get any more of these afternoon rain showers. Been in that pattern where it's hot and muggy, and then all of a sudden here comes a little rainstorm in the afternoon.
Yeah, look for those in the afternoon, late in the afternoon for the rest of the week, even though you don't see it just go by my farmer's almanac that you're going to see
like
a couple
them.
Of those,
I like
jump
those
out.
Showers. Cools things off a
I
little
do,
bit.
Especially later in the evening, you know, around 6 o'clock or so, they pop up and they don't last very long. Some of them are hit or miss, you know what I mean?
It just doesn't
But tell you what's not missing is the 100 degree temperatures.
And they're here.
And will remain here throughout the rest of the week. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. To all of you out there, during the course of this pandemic and every day, be safe, be careful. But thanks for the hard work that so many people are putting into this effort, and continue to move on because it ain't over.
Not over.
Not by a long shot, folks.
No question. We are in the midst of it for sure. Numbers coming down in a good way, or at least in a positive way, still high. But as far as the COVID-19 and the pandemic, still work to be done as we move forward here on this 4th of August. And then you say the dog days of heat, but plenty of news. Let's get your trending topics. There was a big meeting yesterday. Big 12's board of directors got together and made it official. Let's get you to the news. UEO Business Services brings it to you. And, yeah, the board of directors last night for the Big 12, that made up of school presidents, school chancellors, voted and approved a 10-game league schedule for the football season in 2020. It will include a full 9-game conference schedule for all Big 12 teams, plus one non-conference home game for each squad. That Texas, that non-conference game is expected to be UTEP, which is currently scheduled to be played at Texas on September the 19th. That date could stay, could move. We'll see. UT yet to decide on that. That likely will be the first game of their season against UTEP. Also, as it relates to Texas, there is no current plan to move the Texas OU game from the Cotton Bowl on October the 10th, despite the State Fair of Texas being canceled this year due to the pandemic, provided it's safe in Dallas County. That game expected to move forward at the Cotton Bowl. Big 12 also announced with their model the flexibility to move the Big 12 championship game to December the 12th or 19th if necessary. Tough injury news at Oklahoma yesterday, where it's reported that Sooners senior linebacker Caleb Kelly suffered a torn ACL in practice. He's going to miss the 2020 season, second season-ending knee injury in as many seasons for the former five-star recruit for Lincoln Riley. NBA bubble action last night. Spurs dropped their first game in Orlando. Tough one. Phillies' Shake Milton, former SMU Mustang, drained the go-ahead three with 7 seconds to go. Pushed the Sixers past the Spurs, 132-130. Also last night, Lakers clinched the number one spot in the West with a win over Utah, 116-108. Anthony Davis led the way with 42. They now lead the Clippers by six full games with only five left in the regular season. Today in Orlando, Mavericks will play a afternoon affair against Sacramento in the bubble. That game about 12:30. Houston will face Portland tonight. Major League Baseball, Astros and Rangers both off last night. The open series out west this evening. Texas opens a three-game set in Oakland. Lance Lynn on the hill. Houston will play the first of three in Arizona. Rookie right-hander Christian Javier makes his second career start there. A couple of scores of note of last night. Bucky's Yankees improved to 8-1. They beat up the Phillies 6-3. Cubs are off to an 8-2 start. They blank the Royals 2-0 and break up the Colorado Rockies. They've matched their best start in franchise history at 7-2 thanks to a 7-6 win over the Giants. Terrible news in Atlanta, or for Atlanta last night, where Braves young ace Mike Soroka suffered a torn ACL, Achilles tendon, or excuse me, not ACL, Achilles tendon, while covering first base in a loss to the Mets. He's out for the season, and the 22-year-old recovery could impact his 2021 campaign as well.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
4A football started yesterday.
Yeah, man.
Ball is get the ball rolling yesterday and get out there in the field and get it going. Get out of that locker room. No idle chit-chat in the locker room. Get to the field. And just get to playing.
4A, you know.
That's hard, man. You get there with your high school buddies. You want to talk in the locker room. Coach is screaming at you, hey, get out there on the field. You're much safer on the field yapping it up than you are in this locker room. So,
if you're headed out to football practice this morning for the 4A levels below, I think that's Austin LBJ, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they've begun yet. I think out in Hutto they start, or one of the schools out that direction started. But, you know, the AISD is going to be interesting because they believe that their superintendent's going to recommend not starting anything until September 8th and then 8 weeks of online learning. So how does that impact football and the AISD? Those are all pending conversations. Mm-hmm. And at least there's a plan now for the Big 12. We are aware that they're going to play 10 games. Not a surprise. The plus one model adopted by Big 12 leaders last night. Nine conference games plus the one non-con, which, there was a report that Texas could move the UTEP game off of September the 19th, but that seems like a pretty comfortable, you know, kick date with the minors, because the next game is scheduled for, and you know, there's a week off after that game already on the schedule, and before they would open conference play against Kansas State in Manhattan, followed by Oklahoma. But the Big 12 did announce they're going to, you know, firm up the schedule and how this thing will play out in the coming days.
Well, they needed to get it done, and they got it done yesterday, and we'll see how it works. Do you play early and get that over with, right? Then check out everything and see how that rolls from there.
Well, look, right now TCU, Oklahoma, and some others are scheduled to play on August the 29th. That's not going to happen. That's going to get pushed back because the Big 12 leaders last night said we want to start our season mid-September to late September, following the lead of the rest of college football, with the SEC and the Pac-12 both announcing a start of September 26th.
Yeah, Big 12 just had to be last, that's all.
Yeah, they always have to be last.
Yeah, they always have to be at the end.
Be patient. Be patient. No reason to rush. Now, up in Lincoln, Norman, Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley be a little bit bummed that he lost a starting linebacker yesterday in a practice that
second year in a row
probably didn't need to have, because they were practicing. They began practice yesterday for a game they thought was going to be on August 29th, but because the Big 12 waited on this, who knows? He could have gotten hurt another time.
That's true.
Lincoln Riley's now probably going to shut down practice if they're, you know, going to move the games back 2 weeks. There's no reason to practice for 6 weeks to get ready for the first game.
Dude, I don't even know how many days you can practice.
They extended it by 2 weeks, but that's already they're already 2 weeks into that. But now it gets pushed back further, which will give teams more time to prepare and get guys ready. I'm assuming everything I've read from all, you know, people covering this.
Yeah, why would you keep practicing? You'd slow it down. You'd say that's it.
Tap the brakes. But yep. Yeah, because if you're playing August 29th, like Texas State goes to practice today for Jake Spavital because they're going to play.
That's right.
On September 29th. Sunbelt has announced they're playing a full 12-game schedule. They're going to host SMU on August the 29th. That game will move forward, but you can't anticipate that TCU and Oklahoma will come off of their games on August 29th and move back into mid-September. And that's where you wonder what Texas does with the UTEP game. That's the likely game. The South Florida game scheduled for September 5th now likely will not happen. Now UT's got to make that official with the approval of the Big 12, but that is the likely scenario for Texas.
Yeah, they're going to keep it in state if they can.
Yeah, and in the system.
Yep.
And
it makes more sense.
According to the contract, UTEP will get $1.4 million from Texas to play that game. South Florida was expecting $1.9 million to play their game, but now that game to be canceled. And you wonder if the plus one model does leave open the opportunity for, you know, at least South Florida to file a claim of, you know, contract, you know, pulling out of the contract. But I do think the conference making this official and the leaders of the Big 12 announcing does give them some cover in that legally. But we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But now the Longhorns can set their own schedule knowing they're going to play 10 games starting at some point in September with almost certainly UTEP.
For sure. No doubt about it.
To start the year. So now we're what was going to be 35 days at the start of the season is now, you know, more like 6 weeks.
It's a long time, man.
Well, it's the same thing the other four other Power 5 conferences have done. ACC is scheduled right now to start the soonest. ACC is scheduled. They can play that weekend of September the 8th. The week of September the 8th is when they can have a game week leading into the final the next weekend. But I still wonder if I'm waiting on the ACC because, remember, they voted 10 conference games plus one, so 11 games. Every other Power 5 conference is scheduled to play 10 total, meaning the Big 12 will play 10. Big 10 is going to play a 10-game conference-only schedule. SEC will play a 10-game conference-only schedule. Pac-12 will play a 10-game conference-only schedule. ACC adopted 10 plus one, meaning 11, but the one has to be an in-state school. And that was created, most thought, to keep those rivalry games. And there's already talk in the state of South Carolina that Clemson and South Carolina go ahead and plan to play anyhow. Like, the SEC didn't vote for the plus one and didn't approve the plus one, but Clemson and South Carolina played every year for 111 years.
Oh my God.
And they're saying, you know what, we're going to go ahead and play that game anyhow. ACC has left it open to play. SEC has not. You wonder, there's some believing that South Carolina is going to go to the SEC and ask for a waiver, a granted waiver to play that rivalry game if they're able to, at least get it on the schedule to avoid, you know, not playing that game for the first time in more than a century. So we'll see. But I guess my question on the ACC is, do they temper back and say, you know what, we're just going to go 10-game conference. We're not doing this plus one. We're going to be like everybody else and play 10 ball games with the schedule flexibility.
I got a feeling everybody wants to be kind of uniformed in this deal, you know?
It would make sense. I don't know this as complete fact, but it looked a lot like the ACC was creating that opportunity to keep the rivalry games.
Sure.
Because it's not just that one. It's Kentucky-Louisville.
Absolutely.
It's Florida-Florida State. It's Georgia-Georgia Tech. So that the SEC, and again, when you put the terminology, an in-state team, okay, well, that's a state game locally. So we'll see. Now, you look at a team in the Big 12 like Texas Tech. Have you seen their non-conference schedule? They don't have a game. They're gonna have to pick up a game at Texas Tech because they were scheduled to play. I got to look at what Texas Tech's schedule was, but they don't have a non-conference home game because the Big 12 did say last night in their approval that the plus one needs to be a home game. That needs to be a home game against a non-conference opponent. And
we still don't have anything for BYU.
Yeah, well, they're struggling. I don't know what BYU is going to do.
How are they going to play football?
I don't know. Six of their games have already been canceled because they were scheduled against Big Ten teams or Pac-12 teams or SEC teams. Because, of course, BYU, like Notre Dame, plays as an independent.
Well, the problem is they're going to get some calls, but all those games are going to be on the road. They're not going to make any money.
I know. They're in a world of hurt. Notre Dame was fortunate to be halfway in with the ACC anyhow and just decided to jump in with the ACC for this year only. But yeah.
And the problem about that is the fact that they're not going to get the big games, you know what I mean? They're not going to get big-time opponents. They're going to get, just to fill up and play the game of football, they're going to get schools that can't afford to really pay them to come there. It's like, you're going to have to pay. We can't pay anything. You want to play football? Do you need a game this week? I'm serious.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them. They're not going to make any money. They're going to pay money to go on the road, and they're going to play teams that can't afford to, like, give them 1 point anything.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up what's going on
out
in Cougar Nation there. But, Texas Tech was scheduled to play Alabama State. Alabama State has already announced they're playing. That conference is playing in the spring. Like, they're not playing fall football. They're supposed to play at UTEP. Well, that's not a home game. That's a road game against the Miners. A team like Texas, Texas Tech, can be trying to get – how about this? It's like a college coach trying to get a pickup game. Mm-hmm. Hey, can we add a game? Do somebody want to come play? There's been some talk out west that they could get Abilene Christian or someone to come in that's close. Maybe UTEP will flip that. UTEP might say, you know what, Tech? we'll travel to play you. But, well, no, they can't because UTEP's already playing Texas.
That's right.
Well, go get another paycheck. Go to Lubbock and get another $1 million.
Well, you got to keep your program going, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess, meaning UTEP's
not
playing
the Big 12. If you're going to be a road warrior and somebody's going to pay you like $1.5 million to get on the road every week,
yeah, well,
you'll make more than you do at your home games.
Yeah, if Texas is scheduled to play UTEP and pay them $1.4 million, they could say, hey, Texas Tech, give us $1 million. We'll come. We'll flip that from a home game to a road game.
By the way, we'll take every road game and make enough money to all our athletic programs will survive.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So we'll see, and we'll see how this affects your favorite Big 12 team.
You pay for all the testing and everything else, and we'll come to you. I'm pretty sure they get about 22,000 at UTEP every week.
Well, it's going to be, there's not these big intersectional rivalries and games that we're used to in September. Essentially, September's been canceled in college football. And I guess you could call it kind of one preseason game type of deal. And, you know, the next things pending are the official solidifying of the schedules, which, you know, each school will do now. Texas will firm up that UTEP game. Texas Tech will find their non-conference game, whatever that's going to be, the rest of the Big 12. But, you know, the SEC has to announce their new schedule because with a 10-game conference, they're adding two games. And, you know, we talked to Peter Burns on Friday from the SEC Network of how they play this out. You know, there's talk they're going to do kind of a made-for-TV event for the SEC on the SEC Network, where they, you know, because those schools in the South are going to be weighted with who are we picking up? Are we picking up Alabama or are we picking up Vanderbilt? You know, how's this going for us here in the SEC? How are we going to play this out? What does the computer spit out for us? Texas A&M knows or believes that their first game is going to be against Arkansas, against the Razorbacks. That game was scheduled for late September to be played at Jerry World, Cowboys Stadium. That game is now a home game for Texas A&M. They're going to host that game at Kyle Field, and then they're going to pick up two extra SEC games, and that'll round out their 10-game schedule. The Big Ten is supposed to announce their new look schedule this week, and the most newsworthy note there is word that the Michigan or the Ohio State-Michigan game
played very early.
Might be played earlier, and it, you know, for 100 years, it's been played as the last game of the year for both teams. Late November,
could be the fourth game.
Yeah, could be a middle. They don't want to get to a situation where that game gets canceled.
No, they need somebody that home revenue right there has got to happen.
Yeah, they don't want to not play that game because it's, you know, it's one of the great games.
It does matter, but.
Well, you wonder if
that game's going to be so advertised. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
from the TV revenue. Yes.
Yeah, the Big Ten doesn't want to lose that game.
No.
And there's the fear the later you get into November, and you know traditional virus season fires back up. Where are we going to be? Let's go ahead and get that game in. Try to get it
in
October.
Paid.
Well, and you wonder if the Iron Bowl does the same in the SEC. That Alabama Auburn jumps in and says, "Hey, wait a second. If we're going to get
thank goodness we got 6 weeks until this, so people can make some decisions. I mean, generally we're looking at schedules." And we're ready to go. That schedule's ready to go. That one's ready to go. They're going to be changing schedules in 2 weeks from now.
And not too dramatically, I don't think. But some, yeah. I think, well, certainly the SEC's pretty dramatic. And the Big Ten schedule may be dramatic. But for the Big 12, you know, the way theirs lines up, at least for Texas, I mean, they could play UTEP on the September 19th and then get a week off to kind of see the lay of the land. And then they would travel to Manhattan to play Kansas State, and then up to Dallas the following week to play the Sooners, and there you go, and then come back home to play West Virginia the following week. But you know, the one thing that you could see happen, and they've talked about schedule flexibility, wouldn't surprise me to see the Big 12, like Texas, move the UTEP game up to September 12th, then take a week off, then open conference play the following week, then there's another week after that, and then you kind of build in off weeks.
You see what happens during the course of the week, how many guys are going to be missing, if there are any guys missing.
Yeah, and that's what all the conferences are saying. We now have, because you're only trying to squeeze 10 games into a four-month period,
that's right,
and the ability to move our conference title game all the way back to December 19th, you know, if there is an outbreak on a team, well, guess what? We just, we're going to postpone that game for a week or 2 weeks, and we'll play it in 2 weeks, and we'll just move it back. It's going to be, you know, we've got new words in 2020 that we're using a lot more than we've ever used them. Unprecedented.
That one I'm starting to hate.
Pivot is a word. Pivot is a word.
Pivot is another one, yes.
So this is a year where, if I never hear the word pivot again, but I think in all business, all industry, and certainly in college football and all levels of sports, the word, you got to be ready to pivot. Got to be ready to come off of what you're used to and do something new and pivot into a new idea. And that's where college football is creating the opportunity to pivot and move games and bounce games around if they need to. For the sake, kind of like we're seeing in Major League Baseball, where you got to pivot. Marlins haven't played in a week and a half, but you know everybody else is playing. They'll make up those games somehow.
Yeah, Jeter said they fell for the soup, for the poison apple.
Oh, do we have Derek Jeter? Well, we'll hear Derek Jeter coming up.
Yeah.
He's pointing out, he said they let their guard down a little bit.
Oh, they fell
for
it.
Let their guard down a little. Yeah. But we'll play that coming up. We'll also hear Mike McCarthy. Cowboys opening up training camp. We'll hear the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Where's the owner? Can we find him on his ship somewhere still?
We keep hearing from Steven. We have not heard from Jerry. At last check yesterday, his super yacht, the Bravo Eugenia, was cruising through the sounds of British Columbia.
Off the coast of Canada.
So we'll find out.
We'll find him today.
We'll find our vessel. Our vessel.
He could be headed back this way.
Craft. Well, that's still a long way from home.
It's a lot. That takes a long time.
Well, on the football field long super yacht, Jerry, there is a helipad. So at any point, Jerry could just jump on a helicopter and fly home. He doesn't have to come home on the ship.
By the way, he doesn't have to get on a commercial airliner either.
No, he can jump on his yacht, on his
private jet.
Private jet.
Okay.
Because you're thinking, well, he's on the Bravo Eugenia. He's going to have to sail all the way wherever.
No,
not really. I mean, the crew can bring the ship home, and he can fly back if he needs to.
Gosh. I'm trying, Jerry. I'd like to be there. Got a long way to go, though. Not a lot of time to do it.
Yeah. Well, at last check, 1 minute ago, the Bravo Eugenia checked in. It's docked now. Docked at the western shore of Canada. Yeah. West coast of Canada.
Be careful. They don't want you in there.
We'll see.
You got to stay there.
I got to think Jerry's back because at some point, Steven and Jerry sit at a table with Mike McCarthy and they preview training camp.
Zoom, zoom,
zoom.
They
do it every year.
Nope. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
I know they're not in Oxnard for the first year. They're at the Star Complex. They're doing their thing, but they got to have that press conference.
This is an unprecedented year, E. Here's another one of that word again.
Got to pivot.
Got to pivot. See what's up. Zoom, zoom, zoom from the boat.
Zoom.
It really sounds like they don't want their dad, because their dad, once he gets on land, is going to be Jerry. Yeah, and they don't want anything to happen to the old dude.
Actually, Jerry's ship, not yacht. What do you call it? Ship, boat,
ship. Ship
yacht
is good. Ship.
The website marinetraffic.com calls it a pleasure craft.
Yes.
So we'll call it a pleasure craft. They're just south of the Brahman Island. Brahman Island off of the western coast of Canada. That's
good
where Jerry
job.
Is.
Good
right
job,
now.
Jerry.
And Jerry, we're assuming, is on the ship. The pleasure craft.
I assume he's still there. Because if he was on land, he'd be talking.
Living the dream. Okay, so that's there. We'll get to the latest of the NFL opt-outs. Your thoughts on the 10-game Big 12 schedule that has been announced. 9 conference games plus 1 home game. With the flexibility to move the Big 12 title game back a couple of weeks if they need to. Texas likely to play UTEP, but not South Florida. And we already know they've lost the LSU game, unfortunately, in Baton Rouge, because the SEC has already adopted the completely conference-only schedule.
That's
we'll dive
a big
in
hit.
There. That is. That is among the...
I think it's a big hit for the players, really a big hit for fans, and just for college football in general. That was going to be a goodie, because last year was a goodie.
Yeah, man. Now, look, for the SEC, I do like the idea of, I can deal with 10 SEC games. I can deal with 10 Big Ten games.
Sure.
And not these games where Power 5 schools beat up on scrubs.
We already know what the score is at the end, before it even
game
starts.
Game over by halftime.
Right.
There should be some pretty good competition.
Absolutely.
And for once, the SEC is going to play 10 conference, like 10 real games, not just 8 conference games and then a bunch of, patsy games in there. So that should be fun for college football, provided we get college football, because there's a story out there this morning that is the story. It's an example of the fear of everybody. I'll get you that on the other side. Also, the Craig Way Report, your B&E fact of the day. We're having fun with you on a Tuesday. Appreciate your conversation. Specs text line always available, 512-337-3776. Hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long, live and local, right here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the Horn, glad you're with us for the top of the hour. How about Dwayne The Rock Johnson buying the XFL? What is
smell
in store?
The Rock is cooking.
Do you smell it? Yeah, can you smell it? Dwayne, former college football star at the U back in the day, he's bought the XFL for the low, low price of $15 million. We'll get some details on his plans moving forward.
Sounds like a good buy.
It's kind of like you're bargain hunting at Goodwill and places. I mean, that's a lot of money, but he's got it. He's got an equity group behind him as well, so we'll talk about that. Also, Gary Patterson in a bit of hot water with a player up in Fort Worth. We'll get you details on that. Is it much ado about nothing or a very, very big deal, as some alleging, with the longtime head football coach at TCU? On the way to the break, we're talking about, Buck, the new 10-game schedule in the Big 12. Somebody asked, could A&M be the plus-one game? That's no, A&M can't be the plus-one game. SEC is not going to have a plus-one. The SEC has already announced their conference only in 2020.
That's all they're doing.
So it couldn't be. A nice idea. Would be kind of cool. It's almost certain to be Texas, El Paso, UTEP as the opponent for Texas as the non-conference to give them their 10th game. And as we kind of sift through the plans now for each school, Texas, this says Texas Tech will add Stephen F. Austin, just like they did in the hurricane cancellation game of 6 years ago. Maybe they need a game because they don't really have a game right now in the non-con. They had a road trip scheduled, and they had a UTEP game at UTEP, and they had Alabama State, who they're not playing football in the fall.
Somebody needs to get paid.
Well, and they want that 10th game. I mean, they want that, yes.
Yeah.
They want to, and the Big 12 wants that game because one of the big reasons for the plus one is their TV contract in the Big 12 is for 57 games with ESPN and Fox. So this model gets them to 55 with each team playing the plus one total games, including the Big 12 title game. So that's where they want that game for television, whether Texas Tech's playing whoever. I mean, maybe Abilene Christian, maybe Stephen F. Austin would make some sense. But here's a big concern, Buck. I saw this email, post on social media is now trending. It's the mother of an Indiana football player, Indiana University, a freshman offensive lineman named Debbie Rucker. Her son is a freshman at Indiana in the Big Ten. His name is Brady Rucker. And so she took to Facebook with the approval of her son to say, my son says, here's our story. My son was negative when he got tested at the beginning of volunteer workouts. Within 3 weeks, he and multiple others tested positive. His university has done everything right by shutting down workouts and resting the whole team. Unfortunately, this virus hit my son very hard compared to most of his teammates. Here was a kid in perfect health, great physical condition, and due to the virus, he ended up going to the ER because of breathing issues. After 14 days of hell battling this horrible virus, his school did additional testing on all those who were positive. My son even received extra tests because he was one of the worst cases. Now we're dealing with a possible heart issue. He is still experiencing additional symptoms, and his blood work is indicating additional problems. Bottom line, even if your son's school does everything to protect them, they can't protect them all. I pray my son recovers from this horrible virus and can lead a healthy, normal life. Football does not really matter when your child's health is in jeopardy. Please wear a mask.
Yeah, this is where we are with this. I mean, as I said, I mean, this is going to uncover some other issues that some of the kids have. When you go get checked up, and COVID is affecting kids in different ways. I know people whose sons have had it, and they're very healthy, young guys, and ready to go.
And found themselves in a battle.
But have found themselves in battles in 20 to almost 30 days of this. And it's not just, oh, it just happens to old people. Some young people are really struggling, and the side effects are where it goes years from now is a problem to some of the parents right now. What does this trigger?
Well, and this again,
and that's the unknown.
This is the reality of the political argument of, well, it's no big deal. It's just like the flu, or the other folks who say we got to lock everybody up
sure.
for a year until we have a vaccine. I know we have that debate every day, but there's a reality to that. And one of the most puzzling aspects of this virus, even for medical experts, is why it affects some people so severely and why some people get it and they hardly knew they had it. They're almost asymptomatic, but they're positive. It's the unknowns of this virus.
And I got to believe it's different, you know, when people say, wow, look how many people, you know, because you always get they die from the flu. But basically the flu, we all kind of get the same deal. You know, the runny nose, the temperature, some get it just a little bit worse. But this seems to be something that lingers way past what the flu does.
Yeah.
And some people are really getting sick. And as I said, I'm talking about really healthy guys that are ready to go play football that have had to say, uh-oh.
Yeah, in the high school level that you're aware of. And I have heard the same. And here's a kid at Indiana University who's battling, who his mother says was in great health and went
wrong,
off the camp.
Or whatever. If two or three kids die from it, this thing is going
to... Well, and that's... We've talked about there's a risk to play football in the first place, right? I mean, there's
the
general risk of playing a violent contact sport.
Absolutely.
That players choose to take. But in this case, people will say, well, we know this virus is... potentially deadly, and certainly, if it's a lifelong heart condition for the young man, you know, that's unfortunate. I mean, and they are seeing, you know, we've talked about the long-term effects of the coronavirus that are still, more questions than answers. You know, when you hear people talk about who have battled it that lose their sense of smell and taste, look, that's sensory. That's in your brain. I mean, that's neurological. I mean, your senses come from, you know, your if those are numbing and those are dumbed down, there's something going on neurologically with you too with that virus, and they're seeing that it's not just affecting the lungs and the heart, but maybe neurological. And again, for folks who are dealing, because again, 99% of people under the age of 25 mm-hmm. barely have a symptom. You know, but yes, that 1 to 5% that do, it's a very deadly and you know, health affecting conversation.
This is just one we're not going to turn our heads on if a couple kids in the game of football and
become
lawsuits.
A story.
Yeah, it's just
this is a story in Indiana that will be used as an example of why are we even doing this? Like, why is football that important? And people will then argue back with, yes, it is. It actually is that important. And you know, people, and this is why.
But even as the mother says, we can't protect them. They're doing everything they can there.
Yeah, she's not blaming the school.
No, she's not.
No, she's none. The school did everything they
right.
But but this is what we talk about with the Texas players right now. Let's just use Texas as an example right here in Austin. They're on campus. They're practicing. They're going through workouts. But they've been essentially in a football bubble and going home and coming back. Well, what happens when the rest of the students roll back onto campus?
Well, this is going to be fine because they're going to quarantine for 14 days before they get here.
Right.
And there's not going to be any parties on camp. They've already been told.
Here come 40,000 other students to join the fray. And that obviously is the major concern. And yes,
and see, what's really weird is, I once again, people still in their minds when they think of football players, oh, they all live together. They're all roommates. So they're really protected. No, I'm going to say probably 70% of football players have other people that aren't athletes that they live with.
Yeah.
They're just dudes.
Well, can we hear this from Derek Jeter? He is the owner and runs the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins at this point. They changed their name from Florida to Miami after winning a couple of World Series
of
back
course.
In the day. But the Miami Marlins, and this is what we're talking about. This is how innocuous this can be. Here's Derek Jeter explaining how there is an outbreak on his team. You know, his team's traveling party is 33. The number is now 20 of positive tests within his organization. And, you know, there was talk about, you know, a couple of players going out and enjoying the bar scene in Atlanta. Well, here's Derek Jeter yesterday explaining, nothing salacious. This was just, you know, how if you let your guard down a little bit, this thing can jump on you pretty quick. Here's Derek Jeter.
I think one of the first and most important things that we all can do is to have a little empathy for our players. You know, they've been stricken with a virus that has no cure other than to run its course. You know, our players and coaches went into this knowing that their health was on the line. And unfortunately, they've had to endure quite a trying time over the last week plus. And we have seen firsthand just how contagious this virus is. You know, after we left spring training and had numerous discussions, you know, some of our traveling party had a false sense of security and comfort and how they handled themselves when we left Miami. In our review, it was determined we had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. A guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There was no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta. No running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other. They got relaxed and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't asked as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. You know, everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive. And the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. And that's been addressed. But there is no way to identify how this got into our clubhouse. But any activities on Tuesday night were not it.
He sounds like he'd be kind of pissy as a boss, doesn't he? Like, he could get down your throat, Jeter.
It's the captain.
The
right
captain
there.
Could get down your
it's
throat. Like, and he says nobody's doing anything malicious, but sorry, Jeter, that's
well,
your guys. It doesn't have to be malicious. It just has to be stupid.
Well, and I think that's the example for, as we talk football and college football, is we're watching baseball because that's the sport that's traveling.
Correct.
And he talked about traveling party
yeah.
and letting your guard down. We bring that back to the Texas conversation.
Yeah, they're not at strip club.
No, it can be a casual night at the apartment where somebody went out for coffee and came home. And now, you know what I mean? I mean, that's how quickly.
Yeah, you went to another teammate's home. Now, all those people got to get.
Yeah, that's right. And that is the concern. Like, you know, we heard from I talked to someone who talked to an AD in the Big 12 who said, you know, this is all great, but how are we pulling this off? I mean, how are we going to, I mean, when all the general population come back to all these campuses and when we're trying to be safe and isolate our players and play college football, are we actually going to be able to pull this off? There is still there's a lot of people with a negative opinion that can actually happen in 2020. But at least the schedule is going to be set. We got a 10-game season. Let's hope we can pull it off. There's more schedule flexibility so that if there are outbreaks that, wait a second, we can bump a game or move off a game and reschedule that for later in the year. But at the same time, you can double it back to the freshman offensive lineman at Indiana. You know, this is going to affect young people in dramatic ways, too, if they do catch it. It's not just, all right, get the virus and get through it. There will be an impact. And I thought the way Derek Jeter started that is, hey, we've got guys battling this thing in our own organization. Let's start with a little empathy, and instead of just pointing fingers, this can happen to you, too.
Yeah, the exertion that you use and the things that you have to pull out of your bag when you play football.
Oh.
And you don't know how things will happen to you. That's why I just still, in my mind, I don't know how high school football will do it. I just don't know. And bless everybody that's trying to do it, and we all want it. We all want college football. We want the NFL to work out. Hell, we want Major League Baseball to work out. And they're still saying we're not going to be quitters. I mean, when you start getting language like that, I mean, this is not easy. And there's just a couple things that can throw the whole thing out of whack. And I think we all understand that. And I don't think anybody's fearful of this anymore. It's just
the reality
of it is going to – I think it's just going to – the real reality is going to come when the educational part has to come back. Not the actual football part of it, but when you have – people that have been around their parents for a while and now they come back and you come to college to learn and you come to college to party. And I'm sorry, that's been a part of your life. I mean, that was a part of my life.
But even the parents in the schools and even hopefully the young people are going to realize, okay, there's plenty of time to party, but just not in 2020. Let's take it easy.
They can't last a week, man.
I know.
They can't last 48 hours.
We will talk with you about it. There's a little full picture of what you're dealing with young people, too, with college football.
Hell, this is one of those deals you like. I mean, you can't even get them in. You can't even have the president get you in, DKR and sit and put you and just talk to you when you come to campus. I got to talk to you, all you people, tonight.
Virtual, yeah.
I got to talk to everybody.
You can't do the normal freshman orientation and those kind of things.
Or you got to beg them.
All right, we'll come back. When we do, your thoughts on that. We'll get into this Gary Patterson story as well, the N-word at the middle of a conversation involving the TCU head coach. But I think it's been twisted a little bit on as your social media is wont to do. But we'll talk about how big of an issue it is for Gary at TCU. Also, Cowboys opening up phase one of their training camp for Mike McCarthy. We'll hear from the new Cowboys head coach this morning. It's a busy Tuesday here on the Horn. First, Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
BNE on a busy Tuesday, top of the hour. Reset your headlines, including the Big 12, making it official last night. The board of directors approving a 10-game season. We'll get you full details and talk about it with you. Also, the Gary Patterson story in our coach's corner. Mike McCarthy addressing his team for the first time in person. What a weird year. Like, he got to give in front of his veteran players and talk some football. So we'll hear from the new head coach of your Dallas Cowboys coming up in our coach's corner with a lot to do. Also, before the top of the hour, Buck, the BNE fact of the day, before we get to the one that we're going to make you think with, there are some other facts. It is a fact that today is the birthday of Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
Roger Clemens, the Rocket, turns 58. Barack Obama's 59. Billy Bob Thornton has a birthday today, too. Hollywood actor Jeff Gordon, the NASCAR Hall of Famer, and Louis Armstrong would have had a birthday if he had not passed away in 1971, the great Louis Armstrong. But do you know there's some other facts, Buck, from the world of sports? Your New York Yankees are off to their best start in team history through 9 games.
Get out of here. After all these years,
after all
that's
these
their
years,
best?
Yeah, they're 8-1. Best 9-game start in team history. They've got a pretty good team history, too, the New York Yankees. How many world championships?
27.
Well, Gerrit Cole's now 3-0. Gerrit Cole continues to he wanted to be in New York. New York wanted him. They paid him a boatload, but he's off to a great start. Yankees 8-1. They beat the Phillies last night.
And they're not messing around either. When they play full out, they won all these games.
They look like the team to beat for sure. And Cole at the top of that rotation and that bullpen is ridiculously deep. I mean, that's the one thing they lacked last year. They got all the way to the ALCS with the Astros, went to 7 games.
Well, they weren't making it with the big Burger King when he was in there.
Yeah, they had good pitching. They just didn't have that dominant one, right? And the Astros had Verlander and Cole. And at the end of the day, that was the separator in a seven-game series. But, Cole now with the Yankees, their depth, their lineup is stupid. So they are off to an 8-1 start.
And it really pays off when Aaron Judge is healthy. If he can't hurt his wrist or, fall into the fence or something like that, man, he's a problem. He really is on his game right now.
Yeah, and it's hard to put one past him right now. He's tearing the cover off the ball. But he didn't hit a home run last night, but three other Yankees did. That lineup is more than Judge. I know that. I mean, they are really, really deep through that lineup. And their bullpen is the best in baseball. And Gerrit Cole, obviously, a huge money addition, but also a big addition to that baseball team. Also, did you know this, that the Lakers locked up the number one seed in the Western Conference last night? They beat the Utah Jazz by 8 points. It's the fifth time in LeBron James' career that his team will be the top seed in the conference. So fifth time, whether Cleveland or ever has, Miami, Cleveland, or the Lakers, either the number one seed. Each of the last two times, he's been the number one seed. He's won the title.
Yeah, now do you continue to play him? I mean, does he continue to play? He has to, right? How many more games do they have left?
Six.
Yeah, he's going to play.
No, they have five. They have five.
These are pregame. This is pregame.
You wonder about that because last night they had a chance to seal it up on Saturday, but lost to Toronto. And then last night, because they now have a six-game lead over the Clippers.
So they've been resting for 4 months.
I know. They've been resting. Yes. So this is where, how do you handle this? And Anthony Davis had 42 last night after he had the rough game against Toronto on Saturday. He was not great.
Zion played a little bit last night. Actually played 20. They're trying to up his minutes. Well, thank you very much.
Well, and Zion, and he's trying to play himself back into shape.
And he said, I'm not in shape.
No, because he went home for 13 days during the bubble and lost his wind a little bit and gained some pounds and was eating some mama's cooking and whatever he was doing. But, that's a fact. He's come back.
That mama's cooking doesn't take very long. It takes you probably about 3 or 4 days to get into that rhythm of mama doing that and laying it out for you and putting her arm around you and saying, oh, no, you need some more. That's not enough for you.
That's not enough.
You don't look big enough, Zion. I think you look thin to me, and then mama hammers you.
Also a fact, get to the hornfm.com, our website, hornfm.com, and be a part of our Fantasy Golf Challenge. Fantasy Golf Challenge. The first golf major tees off Thursday out at Harding Park in San Francisco, and you can play along with the Horn and all of our hosts here. We'll play. It's our Fantasy Golf Challenge for all the majors.
What I think I'll give away if two people can get away?
Well, we've already given away a Tom McKay audio-visual consultation flat-screen television to the winner. You pick nine golfers from nine different flights, and if you're the number one lowest score for the weekend, you will win. It's all powered by M2M Products. We appreciate them, but what are you going to give away?
I'm going to give away a night stay at the Van Zandt, the number one hotel in the state of Texas.
Right downtown.
Yeah.
It's got a nice pool, too.
If you need to get away from the kids.
Nice pool.
You know what I mean? You trust your eldest daughter or son to take care of the kids. Mom and dad, you need to get away. Jump in here. I like to see a lady. I like to see a female win the golf.
Yeah, get in there, ladies.
I'd rather see them win than
play.
All you
got to do is register. It's real easy. A lot of you already have an account. I think for the Masters last year, we had 1,500 entries or more than that. Let's get those going. It's PGA Championship, Harding Park. Go have fun with that at hornfm.com, part of your fact of the day. And let's get to the actual B&E fact of the day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Fact, it is August the 4th. On this day, 23 years ago, the world's oldest person ever passed away. You know how old the world's oldest person ever lived to be? It's a she, too, by the way. She passed away on this day 23 years ago, but what is the oldest ever age reached and recorded? There could be some dude, some person out in the that we don't know, but recorded oldest ever. What's the number? That'll be your B&E fact of the day. We'll have it for you on the other side as we reset your headlines. Talk Gary Patterson in hot water in Fort Worth and Mike McCarthy meeting his team for the first time. It's B&E on the Horn.